Brothers and sisters, can you all hear me start off with? Yeah? Okay, excellent, yeah. Well, we just read together in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And what I'd like to do by way of exhortation today is to look at this, the theme of this particular verse, to do with the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself and making himself poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. So I'd like to begin then by turning over to Proverbs chapter 13. In Proverbs chapter 13, we have some words here which are very applicable to that verse in Corinthians that we just looked at. It says in Proverbs chapter 13 in verse 7, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing, and there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. And so here we have the situation that there are those who make themselves materially rich, but spiritually they're impoverished. And you've got an example of this. If you just keep your finger in Proverbs chapter 13 and go over to Revelation chapter 3, we have an example of this in the Ecclesia at Laodicea. They thought they were rich, but they were spiritually impoverished. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. This is the verse 14, the angel of the Ecclesia of the Laodiceans. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. So here we've got this situation then, where the brethren in this ecclesia considered themselves to be rich. They thought that gain was godliness, to use an expression from another passage in scripture. They thought they had material goods, so they were rich, and yet we find that as far as the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned, they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. They were poor. And so here we've got an example of one who made himself rich, yet had nothing. And there's a saying that some people are so poor, all they've got is money. It's that principle that we can become lifted up in material things and assuming that we're making a success of life in obtaining all the material things of this life. But yet we find that ultimately, if our priorities aren't right, then we find ourselves to be poor. Well, going back to Proverbs chapter 13 then, the next part of this verse, it says that there is that seemeth himself, maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. And that's something that comes out in our reading in 2 Corinthians that we just looked at. In that passage that we just looked at, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 9, there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. And so in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 8, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And so the question arises then, well, in what way can we become rich through the poverty of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's obvious that it's not talking about material riches of this life. The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't a wealthy man in this life. He didn't have riches in this life to give away. But what he did have was an exalted status and an exalted position. And we have a similar idea in Philippians in chapter 2. If you just go to Philippians chapter 2, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But then it says in verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. And the I'm told the Greek there carries the idea of he emptied himself, like a drink offering being emptied upon a sacrifice. He poured out everything, as it were. He made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So in his poverty we are made rich. He humbled himself to be a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, and he became obedient to death. Wherefore, verse 9, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. We'll come back to that verse again towards the closure of our remarks today. Where it says in verse 6, it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. From what I can gather, the Greek here has it, thought not equality with God something to be grasped. Now, it seems that the translation where it says thought it not robbery to be equal with God, if you're taking something that belongs to somebody else, that's robbery, of course. And so we're grasping something that belongs to somebody else. But in actual fact, that doesn't seem to be an implication in the Greek. It just talks about things being grasped. And perhaps our minds might go to Genesis chapter 3, where Eve grasped the fruit, as it were, that she might be made like unto the Elohim in knowing good and evil. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't grasp at that situation. He didn't grasp at equality with God. An aside here. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6 says that the Lord Jesus Christ was in the form of God. And the idea here, of course, is the likeness of God, the form of God, the likeness of God. But then we have in verse 7 that he is also the likeness of men. He took upon him the form of a servant that was made in the likeness of men. So he was the likeness of God and he was in the likeness of men. And in these things we have God manifest in the flesh, as it were. If you just turn over to Hebrews chapter 1, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know this is talking about his immortal glory, but the principle applied to his mortal life as well. He said to Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And so we read in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 1 that he is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. And then if you go over to Romans in chapter 8, we read again of the Lord Jesus Christ here. And we read in verse 3, what the law could not do, in that it is weak to the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the image of God. He was also the image of man, the likeness of sinful flesh. And of course, these two ideas come together in 1 Timothy, which I've already alluded to. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And so here, God was manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ showing the image of his Father in the likeness of sinful flesh. And he was justified in the spirit and received up into glory. That glory that he was able to have and to receive as a consequence of his obedience to death. Well, just thinking about this aspect then of he made him, although he was rich, yet for your sakes he was made poor, that through his poverty we might be rich. I'd like to consider this example of the Lord Jesus Christ giving. First of John chapter 3, First of John chapter 3, just following this idea of the aspect of giving for others. First of John chapter 3 and in verse 16. Hereby perceive we love. And the word, of course, of God isn't there in the original, it's in italics. Here, therefore, perceive we love, for he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so he laid down his life for us, and therefore we need to reciprocate the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in laying down our lives in service, as it were, yielding ourselves as a living sacrifice towards the brethren. And so he has got this principle that comes out in verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good and see his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels and compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And so we have that principle that we look after each other and look to the way in which we can benefit each other in the things of the truth. That seems to be the idea there. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives in service for one another. Just turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We read there in verse 4. Again, thinking of the riches, that through his poverty we might be rich. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And so we've got this idea of the riches again there. You are enriched by him. But look what the riches are in this case. They are in all utterance and in all knowledge. It's the riches of utterance and knowledge. And that comes out again, if you turn over to Colossians in chapter 2. Colossians in chapter 2. We read of this again. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1 for context. I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. Interesting, Laodicea, that ecclesia that declined in the book of Revelation. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so when you think of the riches that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ, part of the treasure that we have is the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. And we therefore need to seek after that wisdom which is from above. We need to try to seek after that, just with the same diligence as men seek after material and money and the things of this life. It comes out again in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 describes this principle that we need to be diligent in searching after wisdom. It's not a casual affair that we can just pick up our Bibles and read a couple of chapters every so often. We need to have diligence in seeking after wisdom, as if it was a hidden treasure that we're trying to find. So in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4, verse 3 for context. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of Yahweh and find the knowledge of God. And then it says in verse 6, for Yahweh giveth wisdom, and then it explains how he does that. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So that's the way that God gives wisdom, is through the word spoken. Where we read in Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration of God, that literally means God breathed. It's the word breathed out of his mouth, as it were, that gives us knowledge and understanding. And so we need to attend to the word in order that we might obtain the hid treasures thereof. Digging out the treasures, as it were, the spiritual blessings that come through association with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, just again thinking about the example of our Master, we find that he didn't seek after the things of this life, but of that age to come. And so, you turn over to Romans in chapter 15, here's the spirit of giving of the Lord Jesus Christ again. Romans chapter 15, the example of our Master in giving rather than to please himself and to do his own will. Romans chapter 15 and verse 3. Well, verse 1 for context, actually. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And so the Lord Jesus Christ did not please himself. He did not please himself. We find in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22, he says, not my will, but thine be done. And we read in the book of Hebrews the cry of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came into the world, that in the volume of the book it is written of me, he says, I delight to do thy will. I come to do thy will, he says, which will we are saved by. And so we think of the this principle of Jesus. He didn't please himself, but he sought to please his heavenly Father. He gave himself holy to the service of Yahweh. Just thinking about this giving again, just continuing this idea of giving, you turn over to Matthew chapter 20. We have a figure being used here and applying to the principles of the sacrifice of Christ. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Verse 26 for context. It shall not be so among you, but whosoever is great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And so here that reminds us again of the principles of Philippians that we just looked at, that the Lord Jesus Christ took upon him the role and form of a servant. He was the one in that position who did just that. He was a minister and a servant. And so we read in verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now sometimes this is misconstrued as being his body, but it says he give his life a ransom for many. He laid down his life in service to Yahweh. That's what he gave. That's what he gave. When he gave his all, he gave his life, everything that he had. And so we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the practical outworking of this, because the Lord Jesus Christ had laid down his life to redeem us, as it were, as a ransom, this figure of a ransom, we find that therefore we belong to him. He's purchased us from King Sin, as it were. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And of course, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He glorified God. And he said in his prayer in John 17 that I have glorified thee upon the earth. And so we need to remember that the actual practical outworking of the sacrifice of Christ in giving his life as a ransom is that we're bought with a price. We belong to him. We are not our own. We're not at liberty, therefore, to please ourselves. Because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to try to please him and to please his Heavenly Father who gave him. Just thinking now, but returning to this idea of riches again, if you turn to Romans in chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, there seems to be different aspects of these riches. We're just looking at the benefits that come through association with the sacrifice of Christ, likened to riches. We think of the wisdom of the word, which is like riches. We think of the exalted position that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, being in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. All those things are riches. And in Romans chapter 11, we read in verse 12 of the way in which salvation comes to the Gentiles through the stumbling of the Jews in verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And so we have riches, therefore, by being associated with the hope of Israel. We are, as it were, branches grafted into the Israelitish rootstock, which is the promises made to the fathers of old, the root of everything to do with that particular plant. And in the fall of the Jews, through their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ and being cut off, the way of salvation comes to the Gentiles. And it is the riches of the Gentiles, we read. The riches of the world, that exalted status that we have, being grafted into this Israelitish rootstock. And again, we read in verse 18, the outcome of this again, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then that the branches are broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they are broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. And so we've got this aspect then of the privileged position that we have, riches extended to the Gentiles. Well, just turn over to Revelation chapter 3 again. In Revelation chapter 3, we read of the ecclesia at Laodicea, and we found that they thought they were rich and increased with goods. They thought that gain was godliness, but they were miserable and wretched and naked and poor and blind. And the exhortation is given in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in a fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. So the ecclesia here is counselled to buy gold tried in the fire. Now we know from Peter, and we know this because we look at it very often, we know from the first epistle of Peter that gold in scripture passing through the fire represents a faith perfected through tribulation and strife and difficulty and affliction. So there's a riches here that is obtainable, which is the perfected faith. And he says that I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in a fire, that thou mayest be rich. And so we think of this ecclesia, rich in material things, poor in the things of the spirit. But then if you compare this by James, turn over to James chapter 2. Here we've got the contrast now. In James chapter 2 and verse 5, it says there, speaking about the exalted position of the humble in Christ Jesus, verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. And so God then has chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith. That's the contrast. It's the exact opposite to what you have at Laodicea. They were rich in the world and poor in faith. But here, and they were counselled to buy tried faith, gold tried in the fire. But here he says that God has chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith. And so you can be rich in spiritual things whilst experiencing physical poverty. The two seem to go in that way. And then we've got the other passage that comes to mind here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is the principle that God has not chosen the rich of this world, those who are dominated by the mind of the Spirit. Sorry, those who are dominated by the mind of the flesh, not after the mind of the Spirit. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And again in verse 25, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. See, that's the allusion in James, that God has chosen the poor of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. That's not to say, of course, that rich people can't be in the kingdom. We think of Abraham and others who are rich in material things. The Lord Jesus Christ says it's difficult for the rich to enter into the kingdom, like a camel passing through the eye of a needle. But with God, all things are possible. But what it is here is an emphasis. It's not... it's not wrong to be rich, but it makes it more difficult because we're distracted by other things, rather than absorbing the things of the truth. And it's a question of where we place our priorities. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then we will be rewarded according to that, the principles of that work. Well, begin to... focus our attention now then upon the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we turn over to Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, here is the depiction of the slain lamb. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Here we have a living sacrifice, a lamb that was slain but is now alive. And again in verse 11, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. So our Lord Jesus Christ then was slain to receive power and riches and so on. And again, the riches here is not material money. It's not talking about coins in the pocket and notes in your pocket. It's not riches in that sense. It's the riches of the kingdom age. It's the riches of the immortal state. It's the riches of being with Yahweh in the very presence of the Father, which is where he was placed. And all of this is predicated upon the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb as it had been slain. And so we turn over to Philippians chapter 2 again. We said we'd come back to it, and so we just come back to Philippians chapter 2. This is the point that the Lord was slain to receive power and riches. Verse 8 of Philippians chapter 2. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He emptied himself. He made himself poor and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so here is the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he made himself poor, he humbled himself, he gave everything away, as it were, in order to redeem his brethren. And so we think of that passage in Hebrews chapter 12. This is what enabled the Lord Jesus Christ to overcome, is that vision of the glory of the age to come, sitting at his Father's right hand. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so he overcame because of that vision of joy that was set before him, the riches of the age to come, as it were, rather than the things of this life. And so finally then, we just turn back over to Proverbs 13. We began by looking at Proverbs chapter 13. And I'd like to finish there in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. And that is epitomized in the world around us, in the Laodicean apostasy, that men consider themselves to be rich in material things, yet spiritually they have nothing. But then we have the Lord Jesus Christ. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. And we've seen that in Revelation, that the Lord Jesus Christ was slain to receive power and riches. And so he became poor, and because of that, giving everything, he was able to obtain riches, both for himself and also for us, because we're enriched in the things of the truth that he has provided us with and will provide us with in the kingdom to come.